Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Monday. It is the 15th of November, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Glad you're here. And also, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly. Good to be here. Thanks for having us.
And we're here to talk about an interesting battle that's shaping up. And part of the reason it's interesting is not because of the players involved, because we've kind of seen this before, but because of the arena and like where the ultimate battle is coming from. And what I'm talking about here is Apple and Facebook, because we've seen a little bit of back and forth between the two of them, but they were never really battling over the same thing, because like Facebook doesn't make phones. I mean, they tried, but you know, basically for all intents and purposes, they don't make phones. Apple doesn't make social networking software, and we've seen them go back and forth about different things, but there's sort of a new arena where it seems like maybe the two of them are throwing down, and I'm going to toss it over because I'm not sure which one of you wants to take us through this story.
Well, I think maybe the right way to say it is they are heading down a path where they will be competitors. I think they will always tussle over things.
Oh, yes.
But this is, they are competing for, potentially competing for the same space. And it's in the VR/AR/ headset world where clearly Facebook is, right, with Oculus and the future of Meta, as they have spelled out for us thus far. And rumored that Apple will be, and I think those are pretty credible rumors. Of course, Apple, even if they are developing something internally, they are certainly not opposed to scrapping the project if they don't feel like they can do it the right way, or at least, you know, going back to the drawing board if they don't feel like they can do it the right way, which I feel like has happened with their headset or whatever this is going to be a couple of times, because it's percolated close to where we would think, ooh, an announcement is coming. And then it sort of backs off for a year or two. And then it's like, oh, wait, it's close again. But we're pretty close now, perhaps the closest we've ever been. And so the two of them are for sure going to be competing to convince you to buy their headset, because my guess is that the two will not be compatible with the same thing. So you as a consumer, sure, we as consumers will need to choose our headset path. And I think it's going to get interesting.
I do too. And part of it is because of that. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah.
Interesting. Like, do you think Apple's working on a headset, or are they working on glasses? It could be working on both, of course.
Yeah, I think the two are very related in terms of functionality. But yeah, I mean, let's dissect what use cases might be for each of those. Right, glasses, I would say, would very much be the augmented reality. I'm going to show you information that's relevant to you in a non-externally obtrusive way, right? So, you know, we went from having our computers where we had to go and find our computer and turn it on or wake it up to see, did someone send me an email, right? Or did, you know, what's this person's name or phone number or whatever, right? And then we move to our phones, which are in our pocket, but so they're more convenient, but you're still doing this thing that becomes interruptive, let's say. And then we move to our watches, right? Where it's like you start getting this information. And I know watches can be interactive, but they're very good at notifications and information in real time, contextualized, like super great at that. And then obviously, well, maybe not obviously, but we could extend that to glasses, where it's like, okay, great, you're just wearing these glasses and they're doing all of these things, but no one around you is super aware of how much information your glasses, your AR glasses, are presenting to you at any point in time.
Right.
And it could be fantastic, right? Like the hard thing about this is we as humans are generally not all that good at predicting how we will use something that we've never used before. right? Like, you know, and the car is a great example. It's like, oh, it'd be so much easier than walking to your house. And that's totally true. But that's contextualizing the car in a walking world. The car created a driving world, right? So instead of it being, oh, I don't have to walk to your house, Kelly, I can drive to your house. It's like, yeah, but also, like, that makes so many other things much closer. And the world changes, right? It's like going from dial-up to cable modem. People with dial-up often said, well, I don't, you know, what I have is fast enough for what I do. It's like, right, because you will do different things, not just more, but different things. Like, for example, video conferencing would never have been a thing over dial-up, right? So, right. so as I sit here and predict what we might do with these glasses, I also know that I'm really bad at that, because most of us are, right? So, But the classic example, again, contextualizing in today's world, is I encounter you at a trade show, Kelly. We, you know, obviously you and I know each other, but let's pretend that we don't, right?
Yeah.
And my glasses recognize your face and say to me, that's Kelly. The last time you had an interaction with her was via email and, you know, some summarization thereof or something like that, where it's like, I can walk up to you and be like, hey, super cool to see you. I was really excited that we were able to email 3 months ago about this thing. And that sounds great, but when everybody has the ability to do that, that's super contrived. Like, nobody's actually going to do that, right? Because we all know, right, we've just contextualized each other. And that opens the door to this other sort of thing, which I think is amazing. And I don't know what that thing is. But that's glasses. Headsets immerse you in a different world, right?
Right.
Gaming is one fantastic example of how headsets can be used. A social network a la Ready Player One is, a very interesting thing. And both of these things exist currently, right? Not ubiquitously, not at their full peak potential, or even at their first peak of potential, but they do exist. You can immerse yourself in a world at home, on a plane, in a dorm room, doesn't matter, because you've got this headset, and that's a cool thing. But we only have that from Facebook and others. We do not have that from Apple. I encountered, literally in the woods this weekend, a guy using a headset effectively with his DJI drone, instead of using his phone to see from the drone. The goggles / headset that he puts on allow him to fly as though he's in the cockpit. Far more immersive. And it seems like my watch wants to ask me questions or something.
That.
It's fantastic. Yeah,
yeah.
See, these things work perfectly. So, you know, those are the worlds that we live in, and we need better, faster, more capable hardware to do those things.
Mm-hmm. And that's where, and that seems to be a little bit of where the actual hardware conversation is going to happen. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But first, I'd like to take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week, which is Coinbase. So cryptocurrency might feel like it's a secret or an exclusive club, but Coinbase believes that everyone everywhere should be able to get in the door. Whether you've been trading for years or you're just getting started, Coinbase can help. Coinbase offers a trusted and easy-to-use platform to buy, sell, and spend cryptocurrency. They support the most popular digital currencies on the market and make them accessible to everyone. Coinbase offers portfolio management and protection, learning resources, and a mobile app so you can trade securely and monitor your cryptocurrency all in one place. Millions of people in over 100 countries trust Coinbase with their digital assets. Whether you're looking to diversify, just getting started, or you're searching for a better way to access crypto markets, start today with Coinbase. For a limited time, new users can get $10 in free Bitcoin when you sign up at coinbase.com/TDO. So go to coinbase.com/TDO. That's coinbase.com/TDO. You get $10 in free Bitcoin. This offer is limited time only, so make sure you sign up today. That's coinbase.com/TDO. I'd like to thank Coinbase for sponsoring the show today. Now, here's the bit where I think the Apple Facebook battle gets interesting in hardware, and that's Apple Silicon. And the reason for that is because like Apple sort of proof of concept created bajillions, give or take, processors that are system on a chip, because that's what powers iPhones. That's what powers iPads. That's presumably like part of what's powering your watch is a similar sort of architecture. And they've been doing that for a long time. And they've now taken that technology of system on a chip where everything is integrated, and they've put that into computers. And we've seen that even people whose job is to be unimpressed by the stats out of the latest laptops are kind of impressed by the stats out of Apple's latest laptops. So part of that move to me, like once you do that, you know, and you've got everything integrated in one place, then that tells, like, that solves a problem down the line, right? Like, that makes it easier to do something with goggles or with glasses or with cars when you've got all of the processing and all of the communicating it has to do with all the other pieces of the system all in the same place. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, the unified memory portion of Apple Silicon's system on a chip seems perfectly suited to build and power, I should say, you know, AR goggles of the sort, because, you know, the way that unified memory works is the GPU and the CPU share the same memory. So if the CPU is working on something and there is a decision made that the GPU would be faster to work on that same thing, there's no handoff of the data. It's just like, you can see the same data I can, go do it, and then I'll pick up, you know, from you wherever you leave off. So it's this super efficient thing that we've really never seen before in computing. And that is the game changer that really leapfrogs Apple Silicon up over. There's other things too, like having the SSD also on that chip, but SSD controller, I should say, on that chip. But still, like, that's the big one, that unified memory where it can just, you know, you can have multiple processors working on the same data. It is a game changer. And like, I could think of no better way of doing an AR VR headset style thing than that. So I think Apple's got the leg up on the hardware here in a big way. But I think Mr. Chaffin has an equally astute point to make about software platforms.
Yeah, I do. I think there's a lot that's just really weird and delusional to me about Facebook's entire approach to the concept of virtual reality. In particular, I think that they're way off the mark thinking that we want to work with goggles on our face. I think play with goggles on our face is one thing. I think that some kinds of work, of course, but I mean, like, you know, the idea of everyone wearing goggles, sitting in a room so that we can sit in a virtual room together and work together, to me, is just way off base. So you've got, like, at the same time that you've got this hardware issues, all of which, everything you said is I personally agree with. I think that there is both approach and software that will be a major component to making both AR and VR actually work and be something that people want to do and engage in. And I think that when it comes to software, that Apple has a demonstrable history of excelling at both approach and the software to make that approach work.
I agree with you. Apple has been fantastic at building hardware and software ecosystems where the two coexist, and the sum of the parts is better than, you know, the pieces of the puzzle. However, and so I think if we were only talking about like a gaming use case for the headset, I think Apple has a huge leg up, right? Because this is what they've done. But I don't think gaming is going to be the killer app, to steal an Apple term, for these VR headsets. I think it's going to be social networks. And obviously Facebook knows how to win that game. So
that's true. That is true in a whole lot of ways. I think for some reason I tend to fixate on the Zuckster describing, you know, everybody's sitting around a fake virtual table. Like that annoyed me so much that I'm maybe pushing other things out of my head when it comes analyzing this.
I'll point out, we had a couple of Oculus headsets here at the house, sort of accidentally over the summer. We intentionally had one. Amazon sent us the wrong one, so we had two for about a month, and the games on them. And so Oculus was an independent VR headset company that is now owned by Facebook. So let's just set that out there. And they definitely are market leaders in this space, especially for gaming. And the games are fantastic. Some of them are stupid, right? Like, as you would expect. But some of the games really are fantastic, and you can just totally get lost in this world. And that part of it's amazing. The best experience, I should say, that I personally had was playing ping pong.
Yes.
My son and I both put headsets on. We were in different rooms of the house. And once we figured out how to serve, everything else about the mechanics of ping pong were exactly as you know them if you already know how to play ping pong. Serving was a little bit weird because there is no ball, so you sort of had to learn. There was a new skill you had to learn. But otherwise, you know, hitting the ball and putting English on it and all of that was exactly the same. Like, they totally mastered that. And it was great. But what it became was just like when I would, you know, when the two of us would be like in our basement playing ping pong on a ping pong table years prior, it became a conversation. And we were having this very social interaction in two different parts of the house. But it was as we were connected to each other far more than we were any other humans in the room with us, in the separate rooms with us. And that was the fantastic part. We lost a half hour real fast. Like, once we figured out how to serve, which we, again, was sort of part of the shared crisis of, okay, we're in this thing. It's a little janky. Great. We got over that and then it was done. And we were in a social network. Now, you know, that's a very basic example of it, but it convinced me that there are definitely meaningful ways of using this technology that people will get people will grok, people will understand and use very quickly once it's in their hands.
To your point, the existence, the continued existence of Second Life speaks to exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
And that people, especially when it comes to presenting as something other than who you are to other people who are also presenting in the ways that they want and interacting with them, there is a very strong desire in humanity to do that, especially I think in Western humanity. I don't know what it's like in
sure
cultures. So all of that is true, and Facebook absolutely and positively does have the leg up also to your point. I don't know how much people are going to want to live their lives with goggles on. Mm-hmm. I am confident that people are going to want to live their lives with glasses on with augmented reality. That to me is a no-brainer. I'm not sure if goggles are the real bridge to virtual living that the Zuckster wants them to be.
Yeah, I agreed. They get heavy on the head. They're uncomfortable, even the most comfortable ones. Yeah.
Like, they're not wireless. And if they are, like, the battery life is not super great unless you've got, you know, the headband that's got like extra batteries in it or things like that. Like, these are the things I hear about from people who have like Oculus headsets now.
But you do have to start somewhere.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. I mean, everything was 1.0, you know, like, yeah. You know, cell phones weren't iPhones when they started, all that kind of stuff. So it'll be interesting to see how it evolves. And as it does, and as Apple and Facebook continue to slap fight over things, we will let you know about the interesting parts of that here. And that's going to do it for us today. So I'd like to thank Dave and Brian for coming by. I appreciate both of you for being here to talk to me about this. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other. Let's be careful out there.